It's episode 2. That's right. We're doing it. This is episode 2. We are doing this, people. Get used to it. So, just want to throw a quick few things out there for you guys. Still looking for games for the greatest games of all time bracket. We still need at least 2 more. Come on. What's going on? Other than that, I've been waiting for this, because I've been wanting to announce this for quite some time now. For those of you that listened to episode 1, I was told by multiple people that they want more of the Bro Gamers on the In Gaming We Trust podcast, and we are giving it to you. So, officially, we are announcing right here, right now, that the Bro Gamers are an official part of the In Gaming We Trust podcast, and he will be a consistent stay on the podcast, depending on if he can make it or not, and we'll have some sort of rotation. I will be the only one that will be doing every single podcast, so, but he is here, and he's going to be here.
Hey, what's going on there, bros and bras that follow the In Gaming We Trust page, as well as the Bro Gamers, as McSing here mentioned. I'll be a regular stay on the podcast. I am looking forward to more random conversations, more game topics covered, as well as the miscellaneous areas that In Gaming We Trust also wants to tackle. Thank you to the In Gaming We Trust crew for having me aboard. And if there's any suggestions or anything you guys like to see or don't want to see, go ahead and let either of us know, and I'm sure it could be incorporated.
All right, so as I said, I just want to throw a few things out there. Next week, we are episode 3, and we're going to be with the dork, geek, nerd side, and we would love to hear from you guys. I've been asking for the past 2 weeks now, give us your Skype names. We will get you in on the conversation. We want you here. And as I said, episode 3, we'll be sitting down with the dork slash geek slash nerd side, and our topic for next week will be your favorite game of all time, and it's a two-part question, as we do discuss kind of in this podcast, your favorite game of all time, and on the flip side of that, we want to know the game that you just absolutely hate, but yet is incredibly popular to everybody else, and unbeknownst to me, I totally forgot. Like, we actually talked about that in our podcast with you on episode 1 about what my most hated game is.
I remember you touching that. That's correct, sir.
And, like, I didn't think about it. And it was brought up to me on, I think either your page or is in a group we were in. I don't remember. But it was brought up to me, and I was like, shit, that just ruined it. So, but we're doing that, and so we want to hear from you. We want you to give your Skype names. We will contact you before we start recording. We will let you know what's going to happen, and then we will get you in on the conversation sometime during that podcast. So please get a hold of us. Let us know if you would like to. You don't even have to comment your Skype names on the page itself. Email them to us, igwtcasting@gmail.com. For those of you that have pages on Facebook that would like to be on this podcast, igwtcasting@gmail.com. Do it. We are there. We want to have you on our podcast. But
which almost sounds wrong, but you know what it means.
But this week we sat down with 20 Sided Life. Our topic this week was because we recorded on Valentine's Day, which is why Brosif here was not able to join us because he was out making sure the woman was happy.
Just remember that happy wife, happy life. It's a good adage for everyone with the ring out there.
So, we sat down with them. We talked about the Nintendo Direct from Thursday morning, which spawned off into a completely different subject. Still regarding Nintendo, but just a completely different topic. And then, you know, we got to our topic because it was Valentine's Day. We went with the most heartfelt moment in gaming, and I felt like mine kind of fell short a little bit just because I didn't really get to discuss it much. But you know what I'm talking about when you listen to it. Episode 3, Walking Dead. You know what I'm talking about. So, and then we went into most heartbreaking moment in gaming because that was brought up to me before the podcast and it kind of fit as well for those single people out there. But here it is, episode 2. Welcome, one and all, to the second In Gaming We Trust podcast. We are sitting here with myself, McThing, that guy over there, who I can see his picture of, just barely. His mouth isn't showing, which I really wish it was, because, you know, it's Valentine's Day. I need to get something going. That's Omni.
The one and only. What's going on, guys?
We have Sajin, who is another admin of the page.
All you need to know about Sajin is he needs a lot of mental help.
Oh, well, that's good.
What are you talking about? I'm good with my bacon and my pancakes.
All right, and then we are joined by two members of the 20-Sided Life page. We have Lightbridge here and Hippie.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Not that they actually knew, seeing as you went, you know, in opposite order. That was first Hippie, then Lightbridge, you know.
Oh, well, whatever.
So...
Well, beauty before age.
Earl's
it is Valentine's
point.
Day, after all.
It is a Valentine's Day episode. Tonight, we will be talking about the most heartfelt moment in gaming. We discussed this earlier in the week. We'll get to that topic later. Something else that was brought up to me that we'll definitely discuss, too, is the most heartbreaking moment in gaming. And so we were discussing this earlier a little bit, so that'll definitely fit into our discussion. So before we get anywhere, we'd kind of like to get to know you guys a little bit more. Maybe tell us a little bit about the page, how it got started, like what you would like to see become of your page.
Well, cue the interrogation music.
do we have interrogation music queued up? Do I need a scream?
I fucking I'll get, wish.
I'll get Godot's theme from Phoenix Wright.
But no, with the page, basically it was me and Matt D, who he's having to work tonight. He might actually call in a little bit later. He's supposed to be getting off here in a little bit. But we were sitting in our house, and we kind of noticed the idea came from our coffee table. And there for a while, it was actually the backdrop to our Facebook page. And we just realized we are the ultimate nerd, because when you looked at our coffee table, we had at least 6 different comic books, PlayStation and Xbox controllers. All my D&D stuff was sitting there, and it was just piled high of everything that makes us happy.
So
you guys need more. You need more Yu-Gi-Oh cards on that table. Sounds like.
I think I didn't have Yu-Gi-Oh, but I did have my Magic card somewhere on that table.
More but, children's card games.
Fuck Magikarp, right there. It's right there.
And if you would have actually panned over, you would have saw Bubba's collection of, his collection of Godzilla memorabilia. He's got all the little miniatures and stuff like that. And then I've got, like, my binders of magic cards sitting over in the bookcase. And we won't even get into the video games that we got laying around. Thank God for Steam, because we wouldn't be able to live in our house if we had all those games piled up.
Alright, well, yeah, because when I first started the page, Lightbridge sent me a message about your guys' page, and this was before he was actually even officially involved with it. And so as soon as I got that message, I was like, well, this is great. I found another podcasting page that we can very easily do stuff together, like right now, where you guys do a podcast, you're on our podcast, so you can definitely throw this up with yours too, or whatever you like. I can definitely make that happen.
So. Yeah, they didn't ask me to do anything. It's just that, you know, me and Hippie and Matt D's been friends for years, like years and years, and we've played D&D and Magic, and we've been there and done that, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I'm going to help my boys out, because it could be a cool thing, you know. So it just kind of slowly became me being the PR guy, and I just started telling everybody about it.
Well, yeah, as soon as I got the message, the first thing I did was I went and messaged the page, because I was like, I was a friend of your guys has sent me this message, and like you guys look like, you know, you could definitely either help me out, or we could definitely help you out.
Yeah, and congratulations, by the way, because you like doubled our numbers. Within just a matter of days, you blew up, man.
So, well, thank you, but you can thank the other two. No, never mind.
Wow.
Well, Sajin actually won a contest to even be an admin.
You're welcome, by the way, Sajin.
Hey, you had nothing to do with it, Omni.
Sure.
Oh.
I love you, Arby.
Yeah, our cover photo was made by him, and it got the most likes, and whoever got the most likes out of that got admin, so yay! Alright, so moving on from that, because that's... Nobody cares.
Shameless self-promotion aside, I think we should move on to Nintendo Direct, because it was a huge announcement this morning, dude.
2013 is officially the year of the Ouija. I woke up this morning, and like I thought to myself, I was like, I know there's something that I wanted to do this morning. And I got on the computer, and I was like, fuck yes, Nintendo Direct. So I went straight to YouTube, went to Nintendo's page, and the first thing I see is Satoru Iwata wearing a Luigi hat. And I was just like,
yes!
I was quite disturbed, actually.
I just looked at it, and the first words that come out of his mouth is, "You're probably wondering why I'm wearing this Luigi hat right now." And I was like, "You're fucking right, I am." But it's still awesome, nonetheless. And they announced everything Luigi, kind of.
Yeah, starting off, there's a new Mario and Luigi game coming out. There's the new Super Mario Bros.
The first thing they talked about was Luigi's Mansion, and I don't care if you don't like it. I don't give a flying fuck.
I'm trying to bypass that.
But the first thing they talked about was Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, which they had Mr. Miyamoto talk about, which was pretty fucking awesome. But even though it wasn't actually him talking to us, it was his voiceover guy.
The one thing that I want from Nintendo is I want Pokemon on something besides a handheld.
Well, see, the thing with that is Game Freak has no desire to make one for a console. And at the end of the day, like, I can understand as to why they don't want to, because the basis of Pokemon is trading, battling with your friends, taking it elsewhere. It would be so much more difficult if everybody had a console version of Pokemon for the World Tournament. It's easy for everybody to have their 3DS with them to do that than it is for everybody to bring their Wii with them to try and get it transferred.
What was the one Pokemon game on the, what was it?
On the GameCube, they had two of them.
XD Gale of Darkness.
And
Yeah, the Colosseum. I wouldn't mind another Colosseum game.
Well, yeah, I really liked Colosseum. I never really got a chance to play XD Gale of Darkness. I think I rented it, but I never really, I wasn't able to get into it.
Yeah, same here. I honestly, my favorite character in the Pokemon franchise would have to be Wes, the character from Colosseum.
So, I would love to see it personally, because I think it would work really well on the Wii U, especially if, you know, you can start transferring some of your save data to your gamepad and taking it elsewhere with you.
Yeah.
And as soon as they start letting you do that, I can see them deciding to do a Wii U game, or a Wii U Pokemon game, because then at least that way, it's kind of like the 3DS. You both are battling on the big screen, and you both have your gamepad, and you're picking your moves, you're picking your Pokemon, it would be fucking awesome.
That'd actually be pretty badass, because they did announce shortly before the Wii U's launch that the Wii U can't support two separate gamepads, so the entire screen can dedicate just like to the 3D battling. And like, I don't know how many of you guys here, I know I have one, I know McThing has one as well, but Nintendo games look fantastic in high def.
As soon as I put in new Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
Oh my god, it is so pretty.
I was so excited. It looks just as good on the gamepad, but Mario in HD it makes me so happy to finally see this, like, happen.
So does that mean seeing Mario in HD is more for the nostalgia factor?
No, not really.
For me, a little bit, yeah. I mean, it's still Mario. Any way you shake it, it's still a Mario game. You've played one, you've played them all. But, I mean, just the fact that it's in high definition is just... I don't know. My only problem with it is I consider the new Super Mario Brothers series the ender of friendships. And if you're... if you're really interested in why, just watch my Let's Play of that on YouTube. Shameless self-promotion aside, there are lots of fights that happen.
All right, but no, getting back to that topic of something I'd love to see Nintendo do, there's two things that I would love to see Nintendo do. And the first thing is they announced at E3 2011 for the Wii U that they were going to be doing a GameCube virtual console, and we still haven't heard anything since then about it.
Yeah, that really bugs me, actually.
Like, aside from announcing Wind Waker HD, which I'm super excited for because that was my personal favorite Zelda game, we haven't heard anything other than, you know, what they originally told us at E3 of 2011, every time they talk about, they say that they're going to talk about the Wii U during a Nintendo Direct, I'm always waiting for that GameCube announcement for the virtual console.
Have you tried sending in like some sort of a tweet or a Facebook photo or Facebook status about it or anything?
No, because they're never going to get back to me. So that's besides that. The only other thing that I'd really wish that they would do is make a true sequel to Paper Mario. Now, hear me out on this. Super Paper Mario and Paper Mario Sticker Star are two really good games. They're not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
What about Thousand Year Door? What?
Have you seen our profile picture for the page?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People are going to wonder, and if they're stupid, like, shut up, then yeah.
Thank you.
Shut.
Thousand Year Door is...
Anyway,
at the end of the day, that's still my favorite game ever made at this point in time. I don't love a game as much as I love The Thousand Year Door. I want a true sequel to that. Super Paper Mario is good for the first playthrough because there is so much text for a platforming game that it's insane. After you play it the first time, there's no point in playing it again.
On Super Paper Mario?
Well, actually, McThing, since you actually mentioned that, why doesn't everybody share what like their like personal favorite game is, like whichever one they love more than any other ones?
Go for it.
It's Valentine's Day after all.
We're talking about Mario, or are we talking about any game?
We're talking whatever your favorite game is.
Currently or ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Oh. All right. Well, we kind of sprung that up on you, so we'll give you a little bit of time to think about that.
And I can go ahead and say mine now. I already know what mine is, so I have to go with 100%. The one game I love more than any other ones dates all the way back to the Super Nintendo 16-bit era, the golden age of gaming, The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. That is my favorite game of all time. I have played that.
Same here.
I played that game at least once a year. I know everything 100% in and out about it, from every heart piece to the Chris Houlihan room. It fills me with glee. It really does. If I could marry it,
I watched the speed run on that game. It was like 40 minutes or something like that. It was pretty quick.
That pissed me off.
Was that collecting everything?
Yeah, everything.
Wow.
They collected what they needed to get through the game, but still, that's a fast, fast game to be doing it in 40 minutes. That's really fast.
Yeah, there's no way in hell. It still takes me a good, 5 hours sometimes to beat it, despite knowing everything, but it's still like, fuck!
Well, see, there's different places where you can actually, like, blow yourself up, and then you get hit at the same time or something, and it, like, knocks you across rather than, it's weird. It's, like, pretty incredible. I watched it, and I was like, what?
Alright. Okay, when I say I know everything, I don't know any kind of crap like that. I'm talking straight legit status.
Oh, okay. Well,
Sajin, favorite game of all time.
I was actually thinking about this. I honestly can't pinpoint my favorite game, but currently, my favorite Xbox game would probably have to be the Dishwasher Vampire Smile.
I knew you were going to say that too.
Well, that's the only one that's really like stuck out at me. I would have gone with one of my more classic favorite games, but then people would berate me on whatever the hell it was, and so I'm not going to respond to that.
Oh, but, just do it.
No.
No balls. No balls.
No.
Alright, well, we'll move on to that later because, actually, for next week, I've let the guys know for our next week's podcast, we are going to be doing that exact topic now that you've fucking stolen it from me and I totally forgot.
You didn't even tell me!
I did too because I sent it to you and the other two guys that are helping us with the podcast. So our next week's topic is your favorite game of all time, and I believe it's a two-part question because the other part is, on the flip side of that, what is a game that you hate that is universally loved?
Oh God, I can name about five of those right now. Like,
we're saving it for next week.
Omni knows what game I hate more than any other that everybody loves.
Well, we'll wait for that. We will wait for that because Dan's is a shocker. It is a shocker. But
there's a lot of them out there that that make me want to rage quit, but I absolutely love them.
Well,
why are we hyping this up now?
Well, because Eddie stole this topic for next week, and I had totally forgotten about it. But I, like, as I was saying, I want a true sequel to Paper Mario on the Wii U. Super Paper Mario and Sticker Star are both great games. Super Paper Mario warrants a single playthrough. Other than that, you can't get through it a second time because you realize just the absurd amount of text that this game has for a platforming game.
Does that include the after game?
Have you played Super Paper Mario?
Yeah, but I haven't actually gone into the after game because I rented it.
I don't remember afterwards because it's been so long since I've actually played it because I can't bring myself to play it again.
Well, there is the pit of 100 trials,
and I don't even remember.
I thought that was Thousand Year Door.
Nope, the Super Paper Mario have a total of 2 pit of 100 trials.
All right, well. We'd like to, before we continue here, we have Matt D, who is the other admin of the page, coming in, hopefully. He's being called right now. He was working, so he was a little bit late. Okay, well, here he is, Matt D.
There he is.
Welcome. We are about 20 minutes into our podcast here, actually 16 minutes. So
thanks.
We're currently talking about the Nintendo Direct from this morning. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Sorry for being late, guys. Thanks for waiting.
Cool.
We didn't really even think he had his headphones on.
Well, shit. All right. Well, like I said, we're talking about the Nintendo Direct from this morning. So I don't. If you've seen that, then if not, at least you'll learn about it here. I totally forgot even where we were. We were talking about Luigi.
I know we jumped from Nintendo Direct to Luigi to Super Paper Mario. Then we started talking about favorite game.
And then Pokemon. At least we're keeping in Nintendo, kind of.
Yeah.
Ish.
Somewhere in
Luigi
there.
Luigi DLC for New Super Mario Bros. U, everybody.
New Super Luigi U. Take New Super Mario Bros. U, completely redesign the entire course, make it all about Luigi. DLC, fan-fucking-tastic idea.
You know,
second bananas.
I would be more okay with that if Luigi's Mansion never existed.
Fuck you.
Well, you didn't like Super Mario Ghostbusters?
You know, I would have liked it a lot more if they didn't turn Luigi into a whiny little bitch during the entire game. I mean, it was a creative game. It was really innovative. But why did Luigi have to go and start the game and could play through the entire game with wet pants? Bugs me. I liked Luigi, and then they did that to him. And I'm like, it's no Luigi time anymore.
Yeah, well, at least it's nothing like Mario is Missing, where you get part way through the game and you're like, wait a minute, they're trying to teach me stuff.
Yeah.
Why are they trying to learn? Luigi.
Oh man.
Why are they trying to teach me stuff? I don't like this game anymore.
This is an educational game. What?
I see what you guys did.
What's funny is right now behind me, my girlfriend keeps turning up the TV. She's playing Forza Horizon. She keeps complaining that I'm talking over her.
Keeps
turning up the volume to Forza, and all I keep doing is keep turning up the volume on my headset because it makes me keep getting louder.
Happy Valentine's Day, McThing.
No shit, right? But, alright.
My wife's not even home right now, so that shows you how my day's going.
So, going on from that, what else they announced? They're porting Donkey Kong Country Returns to the 3DS.
Alright, now I can get behind some Donkey Kong. I wasn't really excited about Luigi because, well, nobody wants the, it's Luigi, man. You know Mario runs the show.
that's why it's so damn whiny. I mean, picture you have an older brother who gets all the fame. You know, he married wealthy, so he has a lot of money, and he leaves his brother a mansion, and it's haunted with ghosts. Thanks a lot. Fuck you.
Now you guys know how my little brother feels.
you mean all 67 of them?
Exactly.
Well, being more of a Waluigi fan myself, I just want a Waluigi game.
Waluigi, oh my god.
I fucking love him because I know how much it annoys everybody else.
Do you watch College Humor videos?
I haven't in a while, but I think I've seen the one you're speaking of.
Waluigi's nemesis, Wawa Luigi.
Oh yes. Man. Was that College Humor or Dorkly?
They're both the same company, so.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you what, you guys, if y'all haven't seen it, there's a Kickstarter going around, of a Mario type thing where, that shows, the kingdom getting attacked, and, Toad is like an assassin. The dude looks just like, oh my god, what is the guy's name? He looks like the dude from,
Connor.
Looks like the Pest, the dude from the Pest.
Wait, are you talking about the like the Call of Duty Mario Warfare?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's kind of like that, except like they actually have like acting and lines and everything. And
I was getting excited for a second because I was thinking like it was going to be Assassin's Creed 5, Welcome to the Mushroom Kingdom or some shit like that.
No, they have it's Mario Warfare. I know what he's talking about because I've seen both videos. It's Mario mixed. A lot of people are going to get angry about this because I know like they got angry everywhere else I read this. It's Mario mixed with Call of Duty. It's what it is, but it's done it's done so well that I'll post the videos on the page later.
That sounds like one of the best party games ever. It's
really
it's like the new generation of Mario Kart. Who could not love that?
Right.
Roll the dice to see how many people you get to murder.
Yeah.
Well, the cool part about it is the gunfights are done in the form of Gun Kata from Equilibrium.
Oh, really? Shit. You've got to be kidding me.
No, it's pretty legit because Toad and Bullet Bill get in a fight, and that's all they're doing is just, blocking each other's bullets and boom, 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 just knocking
God.
Each other's wrists out of the way and everything.
It's pretty badass.
It's legit.
Fucking love them. If they do that, I'm gonna be all over that Kickstarter.
That was part of their second episode. They've got two up right now. Their Kickstarter is to continue the series.
Yeah, and the I love the way I'm not gonna ruin it for you, but if you've ever seen The Professional, where that guy teaches that little girl how to become an assassin, like at the end of the movie, that actually happens. Like how he goes out, that it happens, but it's really funny how he goes out. So you have to watch it. Just watch the video. It's awesome. All
right, so
I'm gonna check this out now. My hatred for Call of Duty aside, that looks fucking fantastic.
If it has the gun counters and everything, oh man.
Okay.
That was
sorry to go off topic there, but
tactical troom incoming.
That's perfect. There's two more things that I want to talk about in terms of the Nintendo Direct. The first one is Game Freak's new game. It's called Harmonite, and they showed a trailer for it during the Nintendo Direct, and it's a rhythm-based game. And it looks fantastic, besides the fact that it's made by Game Freak, so you already know there's going to be some sort of quality behind it.
I'm blown away Game Freak is working on something that's not Pokemon.
Right? How long has that been?
Pokemon.
I don't think that's ever happened, actually.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Like, just the quality they're known for, I'm really looking forward to it because it looks like a really decent game. Especially because I've been playing the At-Rhythm Final Fantasy for my 3DS because I rented it from Gamefly, and I'm shocked as to how fucking addicted to it I am.
It's really, you just gotta be a fan of the rhythm games, that's what it is, so.
Well, come on. I'm the one that scored 200,000 points even on Through the Fire and Flames on hard. Think about this.
Right.
So
the guy who holds the world record for Dragon Force is going to watch this podcast and go, this little kid's full of shit. Let me show you how it's done.
You don't need no rubber bands.
Fuck that Ben kid on YouTube that can play fucking Through the Fire and the Flames. Fuck him.
Was it the 6-year-old kid or whatever his name?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah. I always wanted to like cut his hands off and superimpose them on mine because I feel like that would give me some sort of majestical power over him.
Is he like a Japanese kid or something?
No. He's just a little American kid that's spoiled to the fact that he can play Guitar Hero nonstop.
Well, I mean, more power to him if he can beat you, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's okay.
We'll
get
our
revenge later on when his social life just collapses around him.
So, alright. So
the fact that now nobody cares about Guitar Hero.
Well, it's a sad statement, but it is true.
They don't even release any good DLC for Rock Band 3 anymore, like shit. That's Viacom's fault, but that's a completely different discussion. So we're gonna get on to our main topic here of the most heartfelt moment in gaming. It's Valentine's Day, people. Fuck it. Let's throw it out there.
They had
Yay,
to go
VD.
So, I will go first. I've already told Omni and Sajin my most heartbreaking moment, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Wait, heartbreaking or heartfelt?
Right now, I'm gonna talk most heartfelt.
Okay.
Heartbreaking moment is the one that I told you guys about earlier that I was going to use, but now that's fucking heartbreaking. So, has anybody not played the Walking Dead game that's in this party? Then you're gonna want to fucking not pay attention. I'll be vague about it. For those who played episode,
have you actually? Is it the ending part or
episode 3?
Oh, okay. Then yeah, I haven't.
Episode 3 made me break down in tears in ways that I didn't even know. I haven't broke down in tears that hard since I read issue 100 of The Walking Dead, because that's fucking. Oh, I don't even want to talk about that.
So only The Walking Dead has made you burst down in tears?
Well, no. My most heartbreaking moment made me bust down in tears for stupidity. There's so many characters that die in that episode, and it ruins fucking everything. Just everything just dies.
Well, it's a zombie apocalypse.
So kind of supposed to.
Well, yeah. None of them even die by fucking zombies.
It's the mental state of everybody.
There was once this magical land where everybody died. The end.
maybe that's just a bad example. Fuck it. Move on to somebody else.
I don't know because I played episode 1 of the Walking Dead game so far, and I'm gonna cry by the end of it. I just know I am.
No, McFang, go ahead. Episode three.
Just the way the story plays out in episode 3 just fucking rips at your heart. It just tears it out. It's unfair. I haven't finished episode 4 because the game glitched out on me and made me start the whole episode over, so I haven't even gone back to it since.
So basically, you were just going to be vague about it and just say that we need to play the game and find out what you're talking about?
That sounds about right.
Because okay. I don't know who's played it and who's not, and I don't want to ruin the experience for everybody.
I've tried to get Hibby to play it forever.
I'm about to go get it. I'm gonna go get it tomorrow.
I would even advise buying it digitally because you'd save $5.
Actually, I could probably, I'll just go get it. I'm just gonna go get it.
Yeah, so, I played through episode 1, and then, Matt's cat made my PlayStation overheat by clogging the fan up in the back of it.
My PlayStation works fine, I don't understand it.
Yeah, what happens? It doesn't go on my trophies. And I have to create a profile, and your hard drive's almost full, and I hate you because you're a ginger. And there's so many reasons.
Oh, that sucks.
No, I have two heartfelt moments in gaming. Does that count, or we just have to pick one?
No, go ahead with both.
Go ahead with both, because I don't really have a heartfelt moment, because, well, I don't really have a heart.
I'm okay with that.
There were two times in gaming history that have actually brought tears to my eyes. One was Final Fantasy VII. Everybody knows when Sephiroth's sword comes down through the chapel. Okay.
That's actually my most heartbreaking moment. We'll get to that in a minute as to why it's my most heartbreaking moment.
Well, you built relationships with Aerith. That was her name, right?
It has nothing to do with what happens in the game.
Oh, okay.
Like, seriously.
It's pretty funny. Anyway, continue on.
I kept trying to play the game thinking it would change. Maybe there was a secret ending, but it never did. The sword step kept coming through the ceiling and stabbed her, and I'm like, oh.
So go ahead with the second one, then.
Second one would have been Gears of War 2, when you're looking for, I think, Maria, that's Dom's wife.
Oh, man, I know exactly what part you're talking about.
You find her, and then it's this great cutscene. You see Maria, and Dom is like so happy he found his wife. And then it cuts over to Phoenix there, and he's just like, you see this look on his face, and he's shaking his head. So you already get that feeling of dread. I'm like, well, this is a little creepy here. And Dom is so caught up in his feelings for Maria, he's all like, oh my God, I love you, I found my wife. And then you see what Phoenix sees, and you see Maria is this emasticated husk of a woman. She's been tortured and experimented on, and she just kind of collapsed in Dom's arms, and he's sitting there like crying, asking Phoenix what to do, and Phoenix is like, I mean, I'm a cat person, dude. Here's a gun. You figure this out. And then as Phoenix is walking away, you just hear a gunshot. I'm like, I actually had to pause the game and take a break because I was like, damn. It just got real, you know?
Oh, man. Have you played 3 yet?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, then there's that entire scene, too, but...
Yeah.
All right, well, anybody else want to share before we move on, or...
So, are we actually talking about, like, any type of gaming, tabletop, or any type...
Well,
anything.
Anything, realistically, our page is more, you know, gaming oriented, but we're not sticking specifically to that. You can talk whatever it is in terms of any sort of gaming.
Well, I mean, like I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons growing up, when, you know, since I was like 16 and stuff, and I get really attached to my characters. So, I'd probably say the most heartfelt moment for me is I actually had a character that all he wanted to do, two things. He wanted to be the general of an army, which happened, and he wanted to have his own son to follow his legacy. Well, the moment is like, coming up with the backstory is like, and you knowing the backstory is kind of like you actually walked in their paths and everything and kind of like, you know, took each step and saw how it went out, you know, how everything went down. But basically it's just being able to come up with a backstory and knowing that your character is going to be that happy for having a son and just how everything turned out. Like it was just like probably one of the coolest parts of me and gaming and stuff. But you know, as far as like a regular game, I don't know, just getting my regular Nintendo whenever I was a kid was probably the hugest thing. Cause that's where it all started. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got my NES for Christmas and then here we are today, boys, you know?
All right, well, that actually brings up a good point, because I remember having two most heartfelt moments in gaming, and that was actually always my second. The earliest memory I have is when both of my parents were together, and we were sitting in front of the TV, and I was playing Mario at the age of 4. That being the earliest memory I have, and, you know, probably the greatest gaming memory I have ever, is thinking about a time where my parents were together, and we were all spending time together in front of the TV playing Mario. Like, I can't think of a better thing than that to do as a kid.
That is awesome.
So, yep. Especially because that's how my daughter is going to grow up, with both of us sitting right there while she does whatever she wants to play and whatnot, especially because we have Mario, we have all that stuff that she has access to. So, like, I had totally forgotten about that because I knew that was a really good one, too. So...
Funny you should mention that, actually. A lot of times when I was growing up, one of the reasons why I'm such a big Zelda fan as I am is every Saturday night used to be Zelda night at my family's house. Me and my family as a whole, we played through A Link to the Past, Link's Awakening, Ocarina of Time, and about 75-80% through Wind Waker, but my parents decided to rage quit when Stone Tower showed up.
That sounds fun.
Wind Waker was the only game I even remember beating as a Zelda game. Every other time, like, I loved them so much, I lost interest every single time. Unless you're Twilight Princess, and then you can just go fuck yourself.
Hey, I like Twilight Princess.
For me, I only beat Minish Cap and Phantom Hourglass.
Oh, you know what? Fuck Phantom Hourglass, too. I bought Phantom Hourglass with the special Zelda DS, the gold one. I had to send it to Nintendo 3 times, because every time my L button broke.
Ouch. And you mean, like, you have that problem when it doesn't press?
Yeah, I had a friend that did it happened to the same thing. We were both playing Phantom Hourglass, it wasn't working, we tried playing a different game and it still didn't work. Had to send it in, he sent it in twice, I sent it in 3 times.
Yeah.
So.
Alright, well, is it my turn to give my,
I think you're the only one left.
All right. Well, this isn't actually a game that I've played per se. It's one that I've seen somebody LP of it. Have you guys ever heard of the PSP game Corpse Party?
Oh yeah, I have that.
Yeah. One of those, like, that game got really depressing for me and actually almost brought a tear to my eye. Like, as I was watching it, I could feel my throat falling up. There's this one scene, I don't know if I should say in case of a spoiler, but what do you guys think? Should I?
Go ahead.
All right, well, basically, it's derived off of a manga in which
some, I think it was middle school, high schoolers? I think it was high schoolers. They get transported into this, this really dark, grungy pocket dimension of a school. And it's just like they get starting to get picked off one by one by the Mavellian spirits in there who've been like having put to rest. And one of the girls in there just dies. And the way that the buildup is, and then how it affects one of the other characters, the best friend afterwards, it just gets to you so hard.
Yeah, I remember Corpse Party. It really scared the crap out of me. Like the first time when you're looking in that cabinet and it's full of hair. See the face come in there and you like have to double check, did I imagine that or did that really happen? Because you leave and then you go back to the cabin, the hair, and it's not there anymore. And you're always second guessing yourself if that was really a face there or not.
It wasn't so much of the
I think.
It wasn't so much the scares as it was the situation. Like these are supposed to be real kids.
Well, yeah, they're in an after school party and they're doing like a lock in. Like they're all in their classroom and they're preparing a party. I think one of the classmates are going away and they're doing like a going away party. And like you said, all of a sudden it goes Psycho Hill on them, like in Silent Hill or something, and then it all goes to hell.
And then there's one part, like there are bad endings in the game, where if you like don't solve a puzzle correctly, it just says bad ending or wrong end, and then you have to replay that chapter.
How many of you guys have played the Tales game before?
Oh God, I don't even want to talk about.
About two of them.
Yeah, one of the things that hurt me most was a Symphonia with Kratos.
The way he ascended, or what?
No, the middle of the game when he decided to turn into a douche.
Oh.
When they finally announce the GameCube Virtual Console, if they do not put Tales of Symphonia, if they do not release it, I will rage.
Omni will rage harder.
Yeah, I really will.
That's one of the games that Omni and I actually originally bonded over.
Actually, I'm not sure. If they did do that, would they keep the original voices?
I would assume so.
Because I know they changed the voices for Lloyd in Symphonia 2.
Well, because you would just be porting the game, so I don't see why it would. All right, moving on. As Hippie had suggested earlier, because we did most heartfelt moment, we were talking about maybe a most heartbreaking moment in gaming. And now when he was talking about Final Fantasy VII, like, that is my most heartbreaking moment. We all know the scene, as mentioned earlier. Sephiroth comes down, stabs Aerith straight through the stomach, heart, whatever. It's Valentine's Day. I don't give a shit. Her head always started to drop, and then the game froze every fucking time. And I couldn't take it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Like, I was so angry because, like,
It was so heartbreaking it broke the console.
Well, because I was playing a copy that was, you know, 12 years old at this point. I was playing on a friend's PS3 because, you know, they can play PS1 games, but they can't fucking play PS2 games. And, like, I was so excited because the only Final Fantasy game I had ever beaten up to that point was Final Fantasy IX. So, like, I was so excited to play through 7 and do everything that I wanted to do because I missed out on it. And it happened every single time, and there was no scratches on the first disc or anything. There was, like, giant scratches on discs 2 and 3, but there was nothing on disc 1. And it was the end of the first disc, and it just happened every single time. And it was just so heartbreaking. And...
Did you guys play the Assassin's Creed series?
Yep.
I haven't got to the third one yet.
Most heartbreaking moment. I'm not gonna say what happens, but the most heartbreaking moment for me was actually the end of the third one.
Just because it's the end of Desmond. It's Desmond, right?
Spoiler, it's Desmond.
How's that sound?
Yeah. The entire thing was wrong.
Well, we lovingly refer to that game as the mission to get Connor's dad laid.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because just the entire first part of that game, that's all you're doing.
Basically.
That is exactly all you're doing.
I don't know, I loved the game. I loved every single aspect up to it. And then the ending happened, and... I'm probably not going to buy the next Assassin's Creed, though.
For me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. But two of the guys at the house, they're playing through Assassin's Creed 3 right now, and then I've got dibs on it next. But that's just one of those games that it gets into your head, and like after you've played it, all you can do is talk about Assassin's Creed for the next month. That's what I love about that game, because it sinks into you.
Just wait until you beat the third one. That'll change.
For Omni.
Yeah, it's like I told the guys. I was like, playing Assassin's Creed is like playing a history class. Except you get to kill people. It's awesome.
Well, see, I never made it past the first one, because I remember when the first one came out, and I was like, this game looks awesome, and I hated it.
And you couldn't swim.
Like, I've been told to go to Assassin's Creed 2. It's better. And I haven't gotten around to it yet. So, especially with all the shit. $1,300 on video games this year. I'm not getting anything in my backlog. Like, fuck it.
I'm finally making a dent in my backlog. All
right, well, Sajin, I know you had one coming up, so go on.
Well, one of my... staying on the Assassin's Creed series... one of my favorite heartfelt moments would probably be the typical one, the end of Revelations, when it is, you're just done with Ezio. Yeah,
I actually really like that one too.
Yeah. Although I was a bit more of a Altair fan myself.
Well, at the end of the day, if you want heartbreaking, look at Duke Nukem Forever. That's fucking heartbreaking.
Hey, look, I'll give you that heartbreak. That's heartbreaking. And I still refuse to play that game because, number one, I still haven't got my apology. And, number two, they owe me a blowjob.
As far as I'm concerned, Gearbox owes me $60 for that piece of shit. I went out, I pre-ordered the fucking game because I was so goddamn excited. You can find it at Walmart for $9 right now, and I paid full fucking price. Oh,
yeah, I will have nothing to do with that game until I get my apology and blowjob. That's it.
Me and James were the only two people.
I found out a bunch of shop for like $5.
Well, you heard the same thing happened to the new Aliens Colonial Marines, which that got released this week as well.
And who released it? Gearbox. Fuck.
Here's what bugs me about both of those games too. And this is something that's been like people are hating on Gearbox because of that. But if you actually do the research, Gearbox didn't really do shit to those games. They just pushed it out the door. The game, like Aliens Colonial Marines, I think Gearbox did maybe 10-15%. I guess the main campaign was already done.
See, the thing about that is, this is a good thing to discuss. Gearbox should have been doing that. Instead, they focused on they bought Duke, acted like they finished it, and pushed it out on us. And instead of doing a game that they had actually started 6 years ago and not finishing it, they outsourced it and apparently didn't check in with them at all or something, and ended up 6 months ago after they released Borderlands 2 had to do a ton of shit from scratch. Well, why didn't you have at least two developers like checking in from time to time, you know, seeing what's going on?
Well, like there was a lot of development that hell went through all those stuff too. Like certain things weren't working. There was a lot of like technical issues going on as well. Yeah. It was more than just, oh hey, they're not doing shit on the game. There was a lot of like.
Well, no, like I understand like they changed a lot of shit that wasn't supposed to be changed. But Gearbox should have been focusing on that and maybe pushed Borderlands 2 off just a little bit so that
but
we would.
Gearbox didn't start that though, dude.
Yes, they did actually. If you go and you research this, and back in 2006 when this game was originally announced, it was Sega, 20th Century Fox, and Gearbox that were working on this game, and they have been pushing it off and pushing it off, and they couldn't push it back again because otherwise Sega was going to take legal action against them because they had taken 7 years to make this game.
Well, if 20th Century Fox had anything to do with it, that's automatically why it sucked, because they've already ruined X-Men for me.
The last 15 minutes was pretty good.
Are you talking about First Class or... Because I still haven't seen The Last Stand. I refuse to watch it.
The only thing I have to say about Fox is, when did they get the... Do they still own Mortal Kombat? Is that why Baraka was in Wolverine?
No. I think Warner Bros. Owns Mortal Kombat now.
Yep, Warner Brothers owns everything Mortal Kombat. So if we do get a Mortal Kombat movie, I will be fucking thrilled because Warner Brothers just is doing wonders for... It's like how everybody's been complaining about because Disney bought Marvel and they bought Lucasfilms recently and everybody's...
Disney has been doing right by Marvel, though. I don't know
well, yeah. Like, as soon as everybody started complaining about, like, them buying Lucasfilms, the first thing I said was, look at what happened to Marvel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. There's... I don't know how many of you guys might watch this guy or how big into comic books you are. But there's a dude, he's got a YouTube channel called Just Some Random Guy. And he takes the action figures from Marvel and DC, and he's got a whole show and storyline built up around these guys.
I think I've seen it before. I don't remember.
I think I've heard.
He actually did a bit on what people think would happen when Disney bought Marvel. And it's absolutely brilliant. It's a complete musical number.
Well, yeah, so, like, just in that, like, people complaining, just, it makes no sense. And, like, granted, I want to see a new Mortal Kombat movie. I really do want to see it based on the Legacy series. And I'm super excited that they're going to have a season 2 of Legacy. Like, and to get ready for that, what I'm even doing is I found a short-lived TV series that took place before the events of the first movie called Mortal Kombat Conquest. I'm currently uploading the first episode of that to YouTube right now because I feel like people need to see this because it's actually really good.
I was actually wondering, if there's going to be a Mortal Kombat movie, why not just do what the reboot did and just use the story mode? I thought the story mode was all right with its cutscenes.
Well, you...
Oh my god, Mortal Kombat 9 redefined a fighting game story mode now.
Exactly.
I've never seen that thing done in a fighting game before, and it was... Like, Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe tried to do it, and, like, it kind of made sense, but kind of fell apart in the middle of it. But just everything Mortal Kombat 9 did in terms of its story, just the way it just fucked everything that you knew about Mortal Kombat was genius. And like,
except for the final fight against Shao Kahn, because fuck that fight.
that took me like 2 weeks to do.
It was easy. Teleport uppercut.
Jump uppercut.
Well, I can't. I'm so excited because I bought a copy of that game used just because I'm so excited that I'm getting a fight stick with Injustice because I want to play it with the fight stick.
I do want to get Injustice. Injustice does look really good.
They released an Aquaman trailer. They made Aquaman look badass. What the fuck?
I saw that, and I'm so looking forward to practice mode so I can beat the ever-living fish smell out of that man.
Is it weird that whenever I think of Aquaman now, I think of Dragon Ball Z Abridged?
No, anytime I think of Aquaman, I always think of that Family Guy episode where he's just sitting in the background and there's a girl being raped. Well, maybe you shouldn't have let him on then, huh?
Yeah.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
Like, I've always looked at Aquaman as a joke, and, like, this trailer made him look amazing, and, like, I've never even thought that was possible!
It really did. Did any of y'all read the new 52 reboot of Aquaman?
No, the only thing that I've been able to read is The Walking Dead, because it's the only thing that, besides the fact that I would like to read more, I don't have the money for it.
I was absolutely furious with the reboot that DC did, but some of it hasn't turned out horrible. It actually turned out really good.
I've heard good things about the Aquaman New 52.
Dude, first issue. It totally takes what you have in your mind of Aquaman and just flips it. Oh. And he's actually portrayed as a, you know, decent fucking superhero. That's hard to do.
You would think.
Well, I still see him as being the other Family Guy episode where he's got his foot propped up on a fish and he's like, hey, yo, go get your, you know, go get me a beard. Is that how you're gonna use your superpowers? You know, I mean, that's how I
think. That's a good one too. Like, you would think a man that has, you know, control of over 75% of the Earth would have some, like, substance to him, but he doesn't really, but now I'm starting to think, like, I'm starting to rethink that a little bit just because of this trailer. Like, I'd love to see, like, more badass Aquaman. I want to see it. And I...
What I'm looking forward to is in that trailer, they show a clip of him talking to Flash, and I'm going to guess it's Shazam?
Yep, Captain Marvel, I think his name is otherwise.
Captain Marvel. But the dialogue between them right there, I want to know what the hell's going on.
The only thing, the other thing that I loved about the trailer is he's talking to Batman, and all he says is, "It's a trap." And my mind obviously goes straight to Admiral Akbar. Like, that's the only thing I can think about. Just, it's a trap! I know. Like, shit!
Now, one thing it's hard to do to make Aquaman really badass is you gotta look at his rogue gallery. I mean, how much do you guys know about Black Manta? Okay. He has, like, below 75 IQ or something like that. It's really funny. Two, he was sodomized as a little boy. No, I'm not making this up. This is his for real origin. I was like, you got to get you some decent rogue gallery, okay?
Well, I was going to say something, but the only thing that I don't think about Injustice that just... The one thing that puts me off is the voice of the Joker. It's the only thing that I found that I don't necessarily enjoy.
Well, it's because Mark Hamill said, you know, peace out.
Mark Hamill's not the only good Joker, though. Like, he's by far the best, don't get me wrong.
Bite your tongue!
Mind my...
Have been some decent other ones. They put out a cartoon movie, Red Mask.
Batman Under the Red Hood, done by he does the voice of Bender on Futurama. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but I loved him in that.
He's not Mark Hamill, but I thought he did a really, really good job in that.
No, nobody's ever gonna do the Joker like Mark Hamill did. Like, he's
far too high.
He is by far the best Mark Hamill, or that's the best Mark Hamill. Yeah,
he is the best Mark Hamill.
Hey, you're the best
you'll
ever be.
He's by far the best Joker that has ever been. Heath Ledger doesn't even come, as fantastic as Heath Ledger was, he doesn't even come close.
He's the best on film to me.
Well, you know what I mean? He beats Nicholson out by a mile. I was actually listening to Mark Hamill talk about auditioning for the Joker, and on the top it just says, "Do whatever you want. Don't think Nicholson."
Yeah.
And I thought that was genius.
Yeah, that was the Kevin Smith interview, wasn't it?
No, that was the Nerdist podcast with Mark Hamill. Yeah,
He said something like that when Kevin Smith did an interview with him.
Nope.
And they're just like, you know, stay away from Nicholson, because Nicholson, he went. Who was the 1960s Joker in that?
Oh, Cesar Romero.
Yeah, Cesar Romero with the mustache.
Yeah, who would not shave his mustache because, you know, he just didn't want to shave it.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. He put the murder back into the Joker. But he still kept the gags and everything. Whereas the new Joker in any kind of film format or comic book format he's a bloodthirsty monster.
Yeah. Psycho killer. Well, like, even though, like, I don't know. I think Joker is my favorite Batman villain, regardless of what he does. Like, I love him. I did like Nicholson's portrayal of the Joker. I didn't love it, but... In terms of film or on-screen television, Heath Ledger takes it hands down. I would have loved to see him. I would have loved to see him in The Dark Knight Rises, because I think it would have made it a better movie.
Yeah,
but...
I think Heath Ledger would have liked to see that too.
Too soon, man. Too soon.
I'm okay with it.
Well, because The Dark Knight Rises was a terrible movie.
Terrible.
It wasn't terrible, but it didn't live up to the It didn't live up to the expectation, especially it came out a month after the Avengers came out.
Think about it like this, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love The Dark Knight Rises. I love what they do with everything, too. But you can't beat a Batman movie that has the two most iconic people. I mean, Batman versus the Joker. You can't make a sequel after that and try to make it bigger than the two most iconic people ever going head-to-head.
I
don't care. I mean... I don't care how badass they made Bane in this one or what they tried to do. You cannot beat.
I think Bane had the best look he has ever had.
I liked the character of Bane. Bane wasn't my issue like it is with most people.
Bane was, I can do the same sound effects that they use for his voice if I pick up an empty cup out of the kitchen.
No, I want a Luchador mask. I'm sorry. I'm picky.
Well, like, I understand it's grounded more in reality, and the Venom wouldn't necessarily have made sense in the Nolan universe. I get that. I liked the character of Bane. I didn't find it, the fact that he broke Batman's back made me a giddy little schoolgirl.
Yes.
But, like, it just, the movie felt like it dragged on, and they gave away the ending in the middle of the movie. With with his fucking butler's little breakdown in the, Alfred, what the fuck ever his name is. With Alfred's little breakdown in the middle of the movie, they gave the ending away. And, right. The Dark Knight itself had pacing issues. And, like, The Dark Knight Rises just had, like, twice as many.
The prison thing was way too long.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. The ending was fucking awful. The final fight in the movie was satisfying. I didn't justify sitting there for 2 hours to get to that point. Where the ending is badass, but the rest of the movie just is kind of meh.
I got happier every time Bane talked, so.
What I want to know is, did the ending in The Dark Knight Rises match the ending of The Dark Knight? Like, did it match how well built up it was?
No way.
No, the ending of The Dark Knight made way more sense than the ending of The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm.
Like, the whole build-up to In the Dark Knight, because it had both of my favorite Batman villains. I love Two-Face. I thought Aaron Eckhart was fucking fantastic.
Oh, dude, the first time he turned his head.
Oh, it was so fucking good. And then you have the Joker, and, like, the build-up to the ending, like, everything just went... while there were some pacing issues the entire time, everything just built towards a fantastic and, like, superb ending. And then you fast forward 8 years to a movie where it doesn't really... It
doesn't reflect.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense at the end of the day.
I loved in The Dark Knight Rises how they showed the epitome of the Joker versus the Batman is, because the Batman and the Joker are always clashing heads. They're always trying to figure each out. Batman, you take him, one of the most intelligent guys, you know, he's always got a plan, always got something going on. He's got a plan for his plan that fails, that's a plan for his failure plan.
Unless he's facing Bane, because then he's just outmatched in terms of, knowledge. And
my point of it is that Joker, all he did was something simple that would think you, Batman, would be like, okay, I've fought this dude a bunch of times. Well, in theory anyway. But that, you know, he should have already figured it out, that he switched the places where they were going to be, and he told them where they were going to be. You know, he's like, bitches over there, dudes over there, you know. And all Batman did was like, okay, I'm gone, you know, because that was his girl or whatever. And
see, I don't think it would have worked if it was the Riddler.
Well,
it honestly depends on which Riddler you use.
I think Jim Carrey as the Riddler in Batman Forever was one of the things that I actually liked about Batman Forever. Like, I think he played the role to what the Riddler actually is. But...
See, I don't, because did you ever read The Sirens?
I know I've seen it, but I don't think I've read it.
Okay, it's a team-up between Harley, Ivy, and Catwoman. And
that is a great team.
I know, right? That's got all kind of fanfic just like pouring out.
That's rule 34 right there, my friend.
Yes.
All right,
let's bring it down.
At the beginning of the series, they show where Ivy and Harley have been staying, which is Edward Nygma's house. Ivy has him all, you know, juiced up on the pheromones or whatever she uses. And through the story, Catwoman ends up some, you know, piddly-ass little shit, thinks he's going to be a new villain in Gotham, which is automatically the worst idea you can ever have. But they get in a fight, and dude ends up tracking Catwoman back to Ivy and Harley's place. And Nygma's just sitting there on the couch, stoned out of his mind on pheromones. Well, there's a big fight that breaks out, and Catwoman kind of, like, you know, knocks a pause in the guy, and they've already trashed the entire house, so all the girls leave. Well, when they leave, Riddler kind of comes to. And there's this, you know, dude sitting in the floor that's just had his ass whooped by Catwoman, looking at the Riddler, and he's like, oh, my God, you're Edward Nygma. I've followed you, you know, all through the newspapers. I've seen, like, all your capers that you've done. I'm a fan. This is awesome. And Riddler, he just stands up off the couch, just total serenity, total calm. He's like, well, that's nice to hear. But, you know, sometimes when we meet our heroes, it truly is disappointing. As he's reaching up on the wall for that cane with a question mark on it, and you just see this, like, moment of realization in this guy's face. He's like, oh, my God, you're about to beat the hell out of me, aren't you? And Riddler's just like, oh, my, yes. proceeds to beat the crap out of him.
Well, yeah, like, I liked him for what the movie was, like, just because the movie wasn't meant to be serious at whatsoever. Because Batman Forever and Batman and Robin suck dick.
Yeah, they did.
But Jim Carrey was the saving grace of the movie, as far as I'm concerned, because I think he played the role for, like, for the how the movie played out and the theme of the movie, I felt like he fit. So that's kind of why I think that, but now I can't think anything Jim Carrey after watching I Love You, Philip Morris. I can't fucking do it. Oh my God, that movie fucks with my head.
I've always hated, like, I hated Mr. Freeze, period, in the movie. Shouldn't have been in it. But in the comic book, yeah, I mean, I don't even want to say them, but the backstory in the comics and everything, Mr. Freeze is legit. Like, he's a badass. But I mean, it's the kind of the whiny, oh my God, this is sad part of the comics and stuff, you know, like, yeah, my wife, blah, 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 I'm freezing cold now, my heart, you know, whatever.
Well, see, like, if you read into the backstory, if you want something to absolutely break your heart, he's got one of the saddest stories ever.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying.
And it's, you know, it'll make you go on medication. That thing is depressing.
Right. Well, at this point in time, the only thing that even compares to those horrible Batman movies is Spider-Man 3, and that's a completely different discussion. The saving grace of that movie is the Sandman storyline, because that actually was that was sad.
Yeah, it was.
I liked the Sandman in that movie. That's the only good thing I have to say about that movie.
I was just begging for MJ to die in a car wreck or something. I'm like, fucking die. Just get out of here. No one cares about
you. But
you're getting in the way.
You know the two greatest things about all those Spider-Man movies? William Dafoe in the credits.
Yeah. Well, if we're talking about the original Spider-Man movies, I liked the first two. The third one was an abomination from hell.
It could have been really good, though.
I thought
that's what kills me about it.
I thought Topher Grace being cast as Eddie Brock reflected upon the comic books, and I thought that because Eddie Brock was never a big guy until he came across the Venom symbiote, and then he started working out, and then he got big and buff.
I love Venom so much in the video games. He is fucking hilarious.
Ultimate Spider-Man. Fuck yes.
He is so funny.
If you want to talk about good Spider-Man games, if there are any, you'd have to go with Spider-Man 2 for the PlayStation 2.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
No.
Speaking of Sandman,
Ultimate Carnage.
Yeah, Carnage was good. Yeah, the old
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about Sandman, like, I know we're talking about comics and stuff right now, but I've always had the argument of somebody, if the Hulk was fighting the Sandman in the desert, who do you think would win?
Sandman. I don't think Hulk has a chance in hell.
Just suffocate the bastard.
Like, he can be punching as much as he wants, but as soon as Sandman turns that hard, and if he's like, just, fuck you. If he's just like sitting 10 miles stacked all around the Hulk, there's got to be a point in time where the Hulk tires out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing that, well, it depends on which Hulk you're talking about.
If it's Red Hulk, no, Sandman loses.
You know, they have one of the Hulks that, you know, the stronger he gets, or the madder he gets, the bigger he gets. Like, he grows, like, really big. Like, really big. Like, really, really big. So, I mean.
What about if the Hulk actually reaches Sandman?
Well, if he actually touches Sandman, Sandman can just dissolve into sand. Like, I don't.
So is it even really much of a threat for him to be there with the Hulk? He could just be, like, on the other side of the desert.
Sonic clap thing where he like smashes his hands together and it creates like a sonic boom or whatever.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. I'd love to see a death battle on Screw Attack between these two.
Dude, I don't want to talk about death battle right now. Superman vs. Goku.
Oh, everybody butt hurt.
Don't watch that crap. All that does is just make
you mad. Hey, I totally agreed with it. He threw Superman into the sun. Energizer battery, that's it.
You know, I understand that, but Goku would be smart enough. I'm pretty sure Goku, being the tactician that he is, would figure out the link between Superman and the sun a lot faster and not do that.
Realistically, you would think Goku's smart despite his, you know, he doesn't have a high school education.
Tactically, he's smart. Yeah. You know, I get, you know, and another thing that really bugged me is why they had Goku go through all different forms of, you know, using like Kaioken and shit like that. Goku hasn't touched Kaioken since he could become a Super Saiyan.
And it's not even his sub Super Saiyan.
I don't know. I mean, it was a badass battle. I didn't really enjoy it. And in the end, like, honestly, I do want to say Superman would eventually win out because the planet would blow up and Goku wouldn't be able to breathe. But I don't know.
You know what we need? We need NetherRealms to put Goku in there.
We do.
Oh, don't toy with my emotions like that.
Just like a free DLC, just based off of Screw Attack.
Just so we can have Goku beat the holy shit out of Superman, because Superman is so broken.
And then have Vegeta fight out against Batman and Hercule against Aquaman.
How about this? Just have NetherRealm Studios make the next Budokai game. There we go.
Oh my god. That is a conversation that we will have to save for another time. Unfortunately,
before we end this off, I have to have one more thing to say. Just one last thing. The thing about Aquaman in that new trailer, I guess they really turned the tide on him.
Oh, and that's where we're gonna end.
Horrible.
Yeah, that joke's.